ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय क्षेत्रज्ञ आत्मा पुरुषा पुराण सक्षत स्वयं ज्योतिर अजा परेश नारायणो भगवान वासुदेव स्वमाय यात्मान्य अबाध्यमनाः टेक्स्ट 14 यथा नीला स्थावरा जंगमानं आत्मा स्वरूपेण निविष्टा इषेत् एवं परो भगवान् वासुदेव क्षेत्रज्ञ आत्मेनम् अनुप्रविष्टा यथा नीलास्वावर जंगमानं आत्मा स्वरूपेण निविष्ट इष्येत् एवं भरो भगवान् वासुदेव क्षेत्रज्ञ आत्मेदम् अनुप्रविष्टा यथा नीलस् स्थावर जागमानम् आत्मा स्वरूपेण निविष्ट ईशेत् एवं परो भगवान् वासुदेव क्षेत्रज्ञ आत्मेदमनुप्रविष्टा यथा नीलस्थावर जागमानम् आत्मा स्वरूपेण निविष्ट ईशेत् एवं भरो भगवान् वासुदेव क्षेत्रज्ञ आत्मेदमनुप्रविष्टा
Kshetrajna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's a footnote here. In the text 12, the word Kshetrajna described the living being. But in this verse, the word Kshetrajna indicates the Supreme Person. Atma, all-pervading, present everywhere. Purusha, the unrestricted controller, who has unlimited power. Puranaha, the original. Sakshat, perceivable by hearing from the authorities and by direct perception. Swayam, personal. Jyotihi, manifesting his bodily rays. The Brahman effulgence. Ajaha, never born. Padeshaha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Narayanaha, the resting place of all living entities. Bhagavan, the Personality of Godhead, with six full opulences. Vasudevaha, the shelter of everything. Manifested and non-manifested. Svamayaya, by his own potency. Atmani, in his own self, or in the ordinary living entities. Avadhyamanaha, existing as the controller. Yata, as much as. Anilaha, the air. Stavara, of non-moving living entities. Janigamanam, and of the moving living entities. Atmasarupena, by his expansion as the Supersoul. Nivishta, entered. Ishet, controls. Evam, thus. Paraha, transcendental. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vasudevaha, the shelter of everything. Kshetrajna, known as Kshetrajna. Atma, the vital force. Idam, this material world. Anupravishta, entered within. Translation. There are two types of Kshetrajna. The living entity, as explained above, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is explained as follows. He is the all-pervading cause of creation. He is full in himself and is not dependent on others. He is perceived by hearing and by direct perception. He is self-effulgent and does not experience birth, death, old age, or disease. He is the controller of all the demigods, beginning with Lord Brahma. He is called Narayana, and he is the shelter of living entities after the annihilation of this material world. He is full of all opulences, and he is the resting place of everything material. He is therefore known as Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By his own potency, he is present within the hearts of all living entities, just as the air or vital force is within the bodies of all living beings, moving and non-moving. In this way, he controls the body. In his particular feature, the Supreme Personality of Godhead enters all bodies and controls them. Purport. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Sarvasya chaham vidisani vishto mata smritir jnana apohanam cha. Every living being is controlled by the Supreme Living Being, Paramatma, who resides within everyone's heart. He is the Purusha, the Purusha avatar, who creates this material world. The first Purusha avatar is Mahavishnu, and that Mahavishnu is the plenary portion of the plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna's first expansion is Baladeva, and his next expansions are Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, and Prajumna. Vasudeva is the original cause of the Brahma-jyoti, and the Brahma-jyoti is the expansion of the rays of the body of Vasudeva. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagaranda koti koti svishesha vasudhadhi vibhuti bhinna tad brahma nishkalamana tamasesha dhutam govindamari purusham tamaham vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is endowed with great power. The glowing effulgence of his transcendental form is the impersonal Brahman, which is absolute, complete, and unlimited, and which displays the varieties of countless planets with their different opulences in millions and millions of universes. Brahma Samhita 5:40. The personality of Godhead is thus described in Bhagavad Gita. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina matstani sarvabhutani nachaham teshvavastita. By me, in my unmanifest form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Bhagavad Gita 9:4. This is the position of the plenary expansions of Krishna as the all-pervading Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. So the king, he was trying to explain to Jagabhaya how to be a proper servant. The king thought himself very elevated because of his position. So he was instructing that Jagabhaya, he was not properly performing his duties. And it may be due to the reason that he is not understanding the position of the king and his position as subordinate to him. So he was explaining in this way, trying to point out the relationship between master and servant. And after speaking for some time and feeling that he had made his point, then Jadabharat, then he pointed out that, "Very nice, you have spoken so many things, and you appear to be very intelligent, but by what you say, we can understand you are not actually intelligent, because you do not understand what is relationship. You do not actually understand what is this exchange between living entities, because you only know some of the material manifestation. You do not know what is the spiritual manifestation." So now, in these verses, he's trying to point out who is the master and who is the servant. So here he's very nicely explaining the Supreme Lord as the Supreme Master. He's pointed out previously what is the servant. The living entity is the servant. And now he's pointing out this is the servant, meaning he is in the body, he is trying to enjoy the body. So he's kshetragya, he knows the body. But now he's pointing out the Supreme Kshetragya, who knows all bodies, and who actually knows the body, who actually makes the body function. So in here, then, the Supreme Lord is described that he is pervading everything by his portion of plenary portion. So here, Prabhupada points out that the effulgence of Vasudeva is expanding from Baladeva. So we already see that only a portion is coming. Baladeva is manifesting the full potency of Godhead, but in the mood of servant. Krishna is in the mood of the enjoyer. And here he is in the mood of servant, the Supreme Lord, but serving Krishna. He makes all the arrangements for Krishna. He takes care of the dham. He takes care of the various internal potencies that arrange for the situation in which Krishna can spend his time freely with Srimati Radharani. So now, then a portion of his personality expands as Vasudev, Sankarshan and Vasudev in Dwarka. So already we're dealing with only a portion of Krishna's personality here. And then, of that, we're getting simply the effulgence. So this effulgence, then, is expanding everywhere. And into this material world, this effulgence then is creating all the different varieties and opulences of this material nature. So we can understand that, what we have heard very nicely, that to go to the Brahman will not satisfy the living entity, because there's no rasa, there's no exchange between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. The living entity is left alone. He is in the Brahman, he may be with so many other living entities, and the effulgence is the Lord, but because there's no exchange of emotion, no exchange of the rasa, the living entity is unsatisfied. So with time, he must fall from there, because he must have some relationship. He must have exchange with others. Otherwise, how you will stay, what you can do, how long you can be alone. So he comes to the material, back to the material world, and in the material world, we find variety. But unfortunately, this variety is created from the very same Brahman in which the living entity was residing. So, what he will get? He's still alone. Even though there's so many other living entities in the material world, the living entity, the individual spirit soul, factually doesn't interact with anybody. He interacts with himself and the material nature. Because here is pointed out, the reason the king does not know what is master and servant, because he does not know what is the supreme master and the servant, or what is master and servant on the transcendental platform. If you do not know that, you cannot know any other manifestations of this master and servant. Master and servant in the spiritual realm is a reflection or a perversion of the original relationship in the spiritual realm. And because he does not know that, he is a fool. He is talking, he knows so much, I am the king, you're the servant, so much dharma is there, so many things, religiosity is there. But the king is presenting religiosity without philosophy. And this, Srila Prabhupada points out, is sentiment. So it's this sentiment that the king is manifesting. He is showing, yes, I am the king, you're supposed to serve, we have this relationship, it's very nice. But factually, unless you know the original relationships, the original of the Supreme Lord with the living entities, then one knows nothing. And one moves through the world alone. Though it may sound strange, how is it alone? So many people are there, so many living entities. But we see, if we understand the details of how a relationship works, then we understand how we are alone. Only on the spiritual platform is there interaction between other living entities. Because in rasa, you have to have, you have two aspects. You have that which is enjoyed and the enjoyer of it. But in the material world, the living entity has the senses, which are the shelter of rasa. And there's the sense objects, which are what is to be exchanged with that. But in the spiritual realm, the one who is the vishai, or the enjoyer there, is the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord then enjoys the relationship with the living entity. But in the material world, when the living entity comes here, the living entity takes up the mood of the enjoyer. So that means we have the senses, but we are also trying to enjoy these senses. Therefore, the same person is doing both parts. So there cannot be exchange. Even though you're dealing with another living entity, you are just taking what your senses appreciate. Their good looks, the sounds of their voice, maybe a joke, but you are just taking it, you are enjoying it. You are the shelter of that, and you are enjoying that. So the living entity in the material world remains alone. Therefore, there's no satisfaction. So whether it's on the sensual plane, or the mental plane, or the emotional plane, the living entity remains alone. Therefore, the material world becomes a very lonely place, and the living entity is looking for something desperately. But because of not understanding this like the king, therefore he looks in so many relationships and so much sense exchange on how to satisfy himself. And we see, because of not understanding this, then the living entity is frustrated. So Jarabharat then wants to instruct him on what is real relationship, actual sambandhiyam. The Lord is the master, the living entity is the servant. Then in this position, then exchange is there. Exchange between living entities means the spirit, between the Atma and the Paramatma, or between Atma and Atma on the spiritual platform. There is relationship. Otherwise, there isn't any. On the material platform, there is no relationship. It's only an illusion that it's there. So Jarabharat wants to bring him to the standard of understanding what is actual relationship, what is actual satisfaction, and what is actual enjoyment. Then we see that the king will be satisfied. Now he's in a very great position, and he's dissatisfied because he can't get his palanquin carried properly. So it disturbs him very much. But Jarabharat is pointing out that even if we carry it nicely, still you will not be satisfied, because this is not where you find happiness. That's right, 5 to 9. Are there any questions on this? Because it's kind of technical. Yeah.
This point that we're actually moving in the world alone.
Yes.
Is very, very interesting. How do we? Well, maybe you could say more about that in terms of things that happen to us, things that we do, people that we relate to on the relative plane.
Okay. Yes. So Srila Maharaj's point is. The point is interesting on how we're moving through the material world alone, so if we could get an example. So, one example Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives is that in this, when you have relationship or rasa, you have the vishay and the ashray. Ashray means you have an object, and the ashray is how you relate to that object. Just like in the spiritual realm, Krishna is the vishay. Then, depending upon the devotee's love for Krishna, or the attachment for Krishna, then there's a relationship. Like Mother Jasoda's attachment is parental rasa. So she is the ashray, or the shelter of parental rasa. So then, or like the cowherd boys, they are the shelter of friendship rasa. Because Krishna is rasamoy. He's the personification of rasa. So, in Gita, he says, as you surrender, he will reciprocate with you. So, he is the enjoyer, and the living entity is the enjoyed. He manifests the relationship with the Lord that the Lord then reciprocates with. So, this is the pure manifestation. So, here you have more than one living entity, the Lord, and then all the devotees reciprocating with the Lord. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur then says this manifests in the material world on the emotional platform and on the sensual platform. So in the sensual platform, then we have the aspect of, you have the tongue, which likes to taste, and you have, let's say, a sweet, like a rasgulla. So the rasgulla is the object, or the subject of what you want to taste. right? But in the material world, everything's dead, right? The perversion. So the tongue is the means you have a residual. You can do many things with it. You know, you can throw it at each other, or you can do many things with it. You can smell it. You can shake it, listen to it, drop it on the floor, feel it. So the tongue is the ashray, or the shelter of taste. So the tongue then tastes the rasgula. But the problem is the rasgula is dead matter. So then you're not getting anything. That's the first aspect. The second aspect is what the rasgula should be doing. It means the Supreme Lord is the enjoyer and he is reciprocating. Is the living entity has taken that mood of Purusha. So the tongue is the ashray, and the living entity thinks that they are also the vishay, the enjoyer. So then he's doing both things at once. So even though you have the sense object there, the living entity reciprocates with it on his own platform. There's no exchange. So that's, you know, quite easy. Then more difficult to understand is the emotional platform. Emotional platform, let's say you have the mother. So she, and then the child would be the vishay. And the mother would be the ashray of that rasa of motherhood. Now the mother is out of attachment to the child who's doing this. And because she wants to enjoy this relationship in so many ways. So she does all the activities of the mother, but it is also for the purpose of enjoying that relationship. If no reciprocation is coming back, relationship is dropped. What we see in the spiritual realm, even if Krishna doesn't reciprocate nicely, the devotee doesn't give up. You do what you like, I will do what I'll do my duty, my service. So therefore, even in the relationship, the mother is just enjoying the body and the reactions of the child. So she is the shelter of motherhood, and she's enjoying those. And the child, because they get something out of it, they want to be taken care of, they want to eat, and the mother provides it, then they deal in that way. So then they're enjoying, they're the shelter and enjoying the results. So the body is material, the mind is material, that the exchange is going on. So the senses, mind. So in this way, the living entity actually never interacts with anyone else. Though he thinks he is, that's where the real illusion comes in. Is that bodies are there, living entities are there, but their exchange actually isn't taking place. Because it's one-sided. There's mutual cooperation to allow each other to exploit the facilities that each has, the body or the mind or whatever it may be. But the actual relationship between the soul and the other soul doesn't exist. So only on the trans-spiritual platform, when Krishna is involved and it's direct, we're relating with Krishna or with Krishna's devotees about Krishna, then there is actual exchange of rasa. Then there's actual flavor. Then the living entity is satisfied. So if we relate to each other on the spiritual platform, in relationship to service to Krishna, and as devotees, then we find we're very satisfied in the relationships. And if not, if we simply deal on, you know, ordinary platform, you know, of positions, or influence, or money, or whatever it may be, or just on the body, the senses, then even as devotees, we'll find a lack of satisfaction. So we have to be able to become educated, as Jarabharata is pointing out, educated on how to understand real relationship. Then, while we're moving, even in this material world, we will enjoy so much relationship with the other living entities and with the Supreme Lord based on that spiritual platform. Does that make any sense?
I thought it was.
Thank you. We will have to, we'll speak with, yes, we will talk to some. Yes. Yes. So Ravindra Swarup points out,
What is his Ganesh child?
I'm saying now. His point is that now Rabindranath Suprabhu is pointing out now that Rasgula is offered to Krishna as prasadam. So now what's the relationship there? So now we're dealing with reality. Because now you have the ashray, the tongue, and you have the vishay, Krishna. So now you can actually exchange. So when you engage the material senses and the material mind and emotions in the Lord's service, then you get taste like that. But if it's not engaged, well, that's why it's so subtle. Prabhupada says it looks like we're doing everything the karmas are doing. We eat, they eat, we walk, they walk, we talk, they talk. But because of that, we've added Krishna. Then now it takes on a new flavor. It's totally different. Are you happy?
Well, it was a little deeper than what I had originally discussed on. But how does this tie into, say, Prahlad Maharaj's teachings that, you know, friends and enemies as an illusion, and that, you know, we are in the world, basically our relationship is with Krishna and not directly with other living beings, and things that are happening to us, we shouldn't blame people, or something like that.
Maharaj just wanted a different aspect of the question. Was that Prahlad Maharaj's teaching to the other children in the Gurukul was that the as we move in the world, then there's no friends, no enemies, our relationship actually with the Lord and the exchange that's going on is we should not be affected by it like that. So this is another aspect that's actually mentioned in here, how the Lord is controlling. The same point is there, is that the living entity, he creates the situation. You have another living entity, you create what is your relationship. So you decide this person is my friend or my enemy. And still you're on the same platform, you're just dealing with your own mind and your what you see of it. So therefore it's recommended one doesn't get involved, because we are creating the friend and enemy. Because even if somebody comes and maybe is inimical, but the result may be very beneficial. You remember the Lord, so many different things happen. Prabhupada said that for the devotee there's never like bad publicity in this. It always comes out for the good. Whatever, like he mentioned, Radharani is infamous. Everybody talks about her. But in this way, she also then, you know, it enhances all the relationship with Krishna. The other aspect is that Krishna here, as the Brahman, has pervaded everything. And in the Gita, in the 7th, 10th, 11th chapters, he describes how he's entered. So the living entity, when he exchanges with the what he's looking for in the material nature, is actually Krishna. Just like Krishna says, he's adventure. So when people go climbing mountains or do, you know, some very wild things, the taste that they're getting is actually Krishna, because he's adventure. But because they don't know it's Krishna, they don't connect to the Vishaya, they remain themselves as the enjoyer. Then they take it that the material energy that they deal with, the mountain or the skiing or, you know, jumping off, you know, some building with a bungee cord or something, then they think that that is what is giving them the relationship, the happiness. But actually it's the adventure inside it, that Krishna has entered it. Because we see with time, you keep doing it and you lose the taste there because you thought it was the material nature. So one has to be able to connect one's activities favorably to Krishna. It's not that now we remember, oh yes, Krishna's adventure, so now I'll go, you know, mountain climbing thinking of Krishna. It's a matter of if one wants to please Krishna as the Vishai, one has to accept him as the enjoyer and do things that will please him. Does that make any more sense? Yes. Last comment. Maharaj?
Yeah, you were explaining how in devotional life, sometimes we bring Krishna into the picture,
Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Chaitanya Prabhu ki.
Amen.